Eyesight. Let's have a look at the Gemara. If you remember, we saw on Daf Tes Amud Beis, and now we're moving over to Daf Yud Amud Aleph, we saw a principle called Palginon Dibura. Palginon Dibura. Palginon Dibura means we split his Dibura. So if you remember, we had two cases. The first case we've dealt with, and the second case is what we're going to look at the moment. The first case we saw was when a person says, we spoke about Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven accuses Shimon of being involved in an Avera of Mishkav Zocha. Levi is the second witness. He also accuses Shimon of committing Mishkav Zocha. But the Chiddush in this particular case is that Reuven says that Shimon committed the Avera with me. With me. So, we discussed last time that Shimon, whether Shimon performed this Avera Ba'oinus or Baratzen makes no difference. Either way, that's an Avera of Reveya. So whether he forced Reuven into the Avera or whether Reuven acquiesced, it makes no difference whatsoever. Either way, the Avera is the same. The difference to us is not with regard to Shimon. Rather, the difference is with regard to Reuven himself. Because if Reuven says that the Avera was done Ba'oinus, so obviously, he's not incriminating himself whatsoever. So then the Eidos stands. If, however, he says that this was done Baratzain, meaning he admits that I acquiesced and I was happy to be involved with this. So then we saw Machlaikas. Rava says, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Rabbi Yosef says, I'm sorry. He's making himself into a Rasha. He's incriminating himself because once you say it was done Baratzen, then you are admitting that you are party willingly to this Avera, which means you are considered a Rosh, and a Rosh cannot be an aid. Whereas Rava, and this was Rava's Chiddush, Rava says, no, a person is a Korov Eitzel Atzmai. A person is related, as it were, to himself, and if he cannot testify against himself, therefore we will split his Eidos into two. The first half of the Eidos, which is that the Avera was done. Shimon committed an Avera. Moshe Zedek, welcome.
Thank you.
Good morning. We were told that you're graybeating.
Couldn't go on the trip, unfortunately.
So, on the one hand, with the first half of the sentence, we believe him. That means when he says that Shimon committed the Avera, that half of the Eidos, we can believe him. The second half of the Eidos, when he finishes off saying that I was the other party and it was Baratzen, that bit we will ignore him because he's a Korev. He cannot testify against himself. If he cannot testify against himself, then that particular part of the Eidos is ignored. But it doesn't mean that we throw out the Eidos in its entirety. That was the principle of Palginon Dibura. Ramesh Zedek, your screen is doing very funny things.
Rabbi, quick question. There is no difference on the punishment whether you were, let's say, the person that committed this Avera, whether you did it on force or with the consent of the other man. There is no difference in the punishment?
Correct.
Why would that be? I mean, it's bad. It's a horrible thing that they do, but if a person forces another person, it's really, it sounds like a Madrega Yoter, you know, Garua, Kilo.
It's like murder. If Reuven kills Shimon, whether Shimon agreed to it or didn't agree to it, it's the same punishment. Murder is murder. Al Kaponim said the Chiddush of Rava was a two-word Chiddush. What are those two words? Palginon Dibura. Palginon Dibura means that we split his Dibur. First half we listen to, second half we don't listen to. So now, look at the beginning of the next Gemara. We saw it, we began to start again, and Moshe Zelig, your screen is doing funny things. Now it's okay. Omar Rava, the last two words of the Amud. Omar Rava. So now we go to the top of Yud Amud Aleph. We began this last time. Top line. Ploini bo al ishti. So let's now give it some names just so we can understand the case better. We have Reuven married to Rochel. Reuven comes to Beis Din and accuses Shimon of being bo al ishti, having relations with his wife willingly, meaning that she was party to this. And Levi is the second aid, and Levi accuses her and Shimon of the same. So we definitely have two Edim against Shimon. Who are the two Edim against Shimon? Reuven and Levi. Problem is, what about against the woman? What about against Rachel? So Levi can obviously testify against her, but Reuven Lechoira cannot testify against her because he's a Korev, he's related to her. So the only way, therefore, that we can accept even part of his Eidos is, once again, Palginon Dibura, if we split up the Dibur. So that part of the Eidos that pertains to Shimon, we will accept. The other part of the Eidos that relates to his wife, we will not accept. So therefore, we can have Shimon killed, but not the wife. So have a look at the Gemara, top line. Ploini bo al ishti. Hu v'acher. He, meaning Reuven, the husband, v'acher, let's call him Levi, mitztarfin. They can join forces, lahargoy, to kill him, Shimon, avaloi lahargoy, but not to kill her. Why not? So look at the top Rashi. Ploini bo al ishti avaloi lahargoy. We cannot believe him. He has not got nemonos with regards to killing her. Lafi because shekorayv hu etzla. Because he is a korev to her. Va'af al gavan, even though de mehemninon le. Mehemninon, again, that word, mehemon or ne'emon. Even though we believe him b'hai sa'adusa. With this eidos, legabe chavrei, with regard to his chaver, meaning with regard to Shimon, comma, but we do not believe his eidos with regard to his wife. Why, once again? V'hainu palginon dibura. Once again, we will split up his dibur. Doha chad dibura hu. Because it's one dibur. What's the one dibur? The eidos is ploini ba'al ishti. And therefore, we'll split it. We'll take a knife and we'll cut it into two. And we'll say, Ulegabe hai, with regard to this one, meaning with regard to Shimon, the perpetrator, Mehemon, Reuven will be believed. But Veloi Mehemon, but he's not believed, Legabe hai, with regard to his wife. How can you split up an Eidos into two? Well, that we saw in the previous Omud. That's the principle of Pagino Dibura.
Aren't these different type cases?
Oh, 1 second. Says the Gemara. Mai komashmalon on the second line. So what is Rava teaching me now in this second case that I didn't already know in the first? De maflaginon bedibura? That you can be maflig, you can split a dibur into two? Hainu hach, question mark. What does hainu hach mean? This is that. This is that. Meaning case B is l'chayr the same as case A. If you're trying to teach me this principle, which, albeit, is true, it's a chiddush, it's a tremendous chiddush, that there exists a notion of palginon dibura. But if it exists in case one, so I already know the actual principle. So what are you being mechadush to me in case two? Hainu hach, this is that. It must be that in case two, you're telling me something that I wouldn't otherwise have known, having been taught only case A. And what is that? Says the Gemara, I'll tell you. Mahu de tema. Because I might have thought, Odom koroiv etzel atzmoy. Underline the word atzmoy. Omrinon. A person is considered to be a relative of himself. But etzel ishtoy, underline ishtoy. Maybe loyomrinon. Here, the difference between case two and case A is that in case two, he's not actually testifying against himself. In case A, he accused Shimon of committing an avera with him, Reuven, himself. So he is incriminating himself, and therefore that part of the Eidos is dismissed, because he's a korev etzel atzmoy. But what about with regard to his wife? In this second case, he is not incriminating himself in any which way whatsoever. Rather, he's incriminating his wife. So I might not necessarily have said that a person is considered a Karoiv to his wife. Says the Gemara, Komashmalon, that's what I'm being taught. Have a look at Rashi straight away, the second Rashi. Eitzel Ishtoi Loyomrinon. I may have thought, mistakenly, that with regard to his wife, Loyomrinon, we do not consider him a Karoiv. Odom Karoiv. Loy Omrinon, you've got to read it together with a heading. Eitzel Ishtoi, Loy Omrinon, we do not say that an Odom is a Koroiv, Le'inyan Palginon Dibura, with regard to this splitting up of a Dibur. Vahoyel Umehemon Ahu Dibura, Le'miktali. And because he is believed with this Dibur to have somebody killed, meaning to have Shimon killed, Lemiktele lechavre. Therefore, I might have thought that likteluha nami ledida. So maybe also he will believe him that he can kill her as well. Komash malon. Now let's stop for a moment. Do we all know and do we all agree that a person is obviously a korev with regard to his wife? Meaning, let's take a much simpler case. What happens if Reuven would walk into Beis Din together with Shimon, and Reuven would say, we by accuse Mrs. Pliny of being Mechalel Shabbos. Okay, who is Mrs. Pliny? Well, actually it happens to be Reuven's wife. So this is not a case of Palginon Dibura, this is a perfectly straightforward, simple case of Edim testifying against a woman that she's Mechalel Shabbos. What would be the halacha there?
Chai Misa.
Do we have Edim or do we say no, he's a Korev to his wife?
Oh.
So in that case, obviously, person's a Korev to his wife. Person can't testify against his brother, can't testify against his child, he can't testify against his wife. So what exactly is our Gemara being Mechadish? Our Gemara says, yes, a person is considered a Karaiv to himself, but I wouldn't have necessarily have said the same with regard to his wife. Really? A person's allowed to testify against his wife in Beis Din? Obviously a person is a Karaiv to his wife. What's the Chiddush of this Gemara?
Well, because if he can't testify against his wife, then what's the testimony that there was even a Maisa?
Because I don't need to have two parties involved. If
in
I
this,
no,
in this
if I
issue, with a guy was with a woman. So if the husband is one of the witnesses and he's not allowed to testify that the woman was involved, then what? There was no Maisa.
No,
he can't testify that she was involved.
So the made him come to Beis Din. And they say, we accuse Pliny of committing Znus with a woman, but we didn't see who the woman was.
Yeah, but in this case, we know who we're talking about. He's not saying a man was with a woman that might have been my wife. He's saying a man was with my wife. So if his testimony is removed, then there's no woman involved. Then there's no Maisa.
Then you're not answering the question, you're strengthening the question. So why does he believe them?
I don't think he should be believed.
The Gemara says he is.
I understand. I'm a little confused. I'm a little.
He's not believed to kill his wife. And the Gemara says, oh, it's very obvious. The Gemara says, no, it's not so obvious. Because even though a person is considered to be a Koraiv to himself, but I might not necessarily have known that a person is considered a Koraiv to his wife. Why not? Surely it's the oldest rule in the book. We all know a person's considered a karev to his wife.
Well, maybe because after this maisa, they'll get divorced. He's no longer a karev.
The answer is, if you look at Rashi, Rashi added three words. Look again at Rashi. Eitzel ishtoi loyamrinon. Loyamrinon at odom karev, says Rashi, la'inyan palginon dibura. With regard to the principle of Palginon Dibura, then, and only then, would I maybe have thought that a woman is not considered to be a Koreish. Meaning, if a person comes to Beis Din No palgin on Deborah, just straightforward Eidos. My wife was Machal Shabbos. My wife was Eved Avodah Zarah. My wife robbed the bank. So in that case, it's obvious. I say to him, I'm sorry, we cannot listen to your Eidos at all because you're related to your wife. Nobody thought otherwise. Why in this particular case did we think otherwise, says Rashi? Le'inyan palgin Deborah. This Eidos has to be accepted at least half. Which half has to be accepted? When Reuven testifies against Shimon. Here, maybe I'll be accused, maybe here I'll be excused for thinking that once I accept the one half of the Eidos, I'll by definition also accept the other half of the Eidos. That's when I would have thought that I accept the Eidos against his wife. If the only Eidos is against the wife, no question at all that we would not listen to the Eidos. But here, remember, it's a double Eidos. Who is he testifying against? Both Shimon and also his wife. So maybe, just maybe, eventually we throw this out, but at least there was a Havamina. Maybe that once we accept his Eidos with regard to Shimon, then we would accept the Eidos against his wife as well. And that's what Rashi means. Le'inyan palginon dibura. Only with regard to this very, very mechudesh principle that we split an Eidos into two, that's where I would have thought that once half the Eidos is valid, so too the other half as well. But if there's no two halves, and the only Eidos that I'm involved with is testifying against my wife, then says Rashi, no, I never would have thought that you could testify against his wife. If you look at the very top Tosfos, Tosfos is Lechaira saying exactly the same as well. Eitzel Ishtoi says Tosfos lo yomrinon. Afal gav de masnisin hi. Even though it's a Mishnah in Bezer Boirer. Bezer Boirer is another perek later on in the Masechta. The Baal Keishtoi, that a man is considered like his wife, Le'inyan Eidos, with regard to Eidos. In other words, just like you cannot testify against yourself. Isn't it obvious? Tosfos says it's a Mefurish Mishnah, that your wife has the same status. If you cannot testify against yourself, you cannot testify against your wife. So why would I have thought in our Gemara that you're allowed to testify against your wife? Says Tosfos, Salkadat Hocha. Excuse me. Here I would have thought the machmas migu. What does migu mean? Since he is believed lahor goy. Since he's believed with regard to killing the man, Shimon. Therefore, maybe also mehemon lahor goy. Maybe he's also believed with regard to her. So again, if a person, excuse me, if a person only testifies against his wife, and that is the only Eidos whatsoever, well then says Tosfos, I'm sorry, we have a Mefurish Mishnah later on in the Masechta, Baal Ke'ishtei. The husband and the wife is all considered one. But that's only when that's the sole Eidos. But in our case, when it's not the sole Eidos, it is a double whammy Eidos. He's testifying both against his wife and also against somebody else. Maybe I would have thought that if you're believed with regard to somebody else, you're also believed with regard to the wife.
By the way, this is where I'm having a very big problem, because Zachar LeZachar, he's saying, I agreed. And they're saying, we don't accept your Eidos. So what that means is there was a Maisa, but you were taken advantage of, because we don't believe that you can testify on yourself. But here's a totally different thing. He's saying, this man was with my wife. He's not saying it was with a woman. I think it was with my wife. If he can't testify that it was his wife, then there was no Maisa at all. It's a totally different conversation. He's saying, Zachar LeZachar, he's saying, I agree to this. They're saying, you can't make that Eidos. But there was an incident with you. Therefore, obviously, he must have taken advantage of you. Say that. But in this case, he's saying, this man was with my wife. No, you can't testify against your wife. So it was somebody else. No, I saw it was my wife. Yeah, we don't. You can't testify against your wife. So it kills the whole eidus. They kill, there's no meiser.
No.
There's no proof. There's a meiser.
No, because when we say that we don't accept his eidus with regard to the wife, again, what is he accusing his wife of? He is accusing his wife of being involved in Aveira Baratzain, and therefore she deserves to be killed. What happens if the husband would say to Beis Din, this man was with my wife, but he forced my wife into it? Okay, so you're not incriminating your wife. So I believe it was your wife, but with regard to the halachic consequence, you want to now accuse her of doing a barot, that I cannot accept.
So it's the same in my logic, it's the same thing.
Right.
He's saying he probably this it was my wife, but he took advantage of her.
Right.
I got it.
These are, by the way, the hardest cases. In fact, I just met a Rav on Thursday. And unfortunately, I myself have also been involved in a case like this once. What's the halacha? The halacha is, first, let's present the halacha, then we have to work out the scenario. If a married woman has relations with another man willingly, and obviously, if there's Edim and there's Asra, we put her to death. Okay, so nowadays we don't have that. But there's another halacha that we do have nowadays, and what is that? Is that if she did so willingly, she is now forbidden to her husband. She cannot continue to be married to her husband. That's halacha. That's halacha. So now you have a very tragic and a very complicated shaila. What happens if a woman tells you, I'm embarrassed to admit, but I must admit, I'm a married woman and I had relations with Pliny. What does the Rav now do?
She can't testify against herself.
Oh, very good. Meaning,
And
if.
then, but above, on the other hand, but if she's telling the truth, she can't be married to her husband.
Right, so this is a very, 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 very difficult scenario. Meaning, she cannot testify against herself. So if she's incriminating against herself, remember, she did not say that I was forced into it. If I was forced into it, then she's not incriminating herself, and there's no ramifications anyway, unless she's a Kohen, but we're not talking about that for the moment. But if she says, I was involved with this Barot Sin, then she's incriminating herself. And she's not believed, because we don't have Edim, to incriminate herself. So here comes a very, very, very complicated question. Now listen very, very carefully. It's a very, very subtle question. Let's say the Rav, the Posek, the Dayan tells this woman, listen, I cannot believe what you've just said. Really? You think I'm a liar? No. But in Hilchas Eidus, I cannot accept your Eidus. Okay. That means the Rav does not now need to phone up the husband and say, I'm sorry to tell you this terrible news, you've got to divorce your wife. No, he doesn't need to tell that to her. But here comes a $64 million question. What about the wife herself? She knows the truth. With regard to the Rav, I don't know the truth. The only knowledge that I have is based on her evidence, and I cannot accept her evidence. But she, heart of hearts, knows the truth. In the event that she knows that, yes, what she says was truth, so she can't be with her husband. So you have a very strange scenario. On the one hand, I cannot obligate the husband to divorce her because I, as an outsider, have no knowledge of this case other than the woman's testimony, which halachically is unacceptable. So even though he's not mechuyev to divorce her, and he technically is mutter to be with her, but she's not mutter to be with him because she knows the truth.
But if she's promiscuous, she may opt just not to say anything to him
So
and
that's the
just.
question. So that's the hard question. Is she allowed not to tell anything to him? Again, she knows the truth, and she's the only person in the world who knows the truth. So halachically, obviously, we have no way to incriminate her or to tell the husband that you cannot be with your wife because I have no knowledge of this subject. However, the wife does know the truth. So it sounds almost an ironic case, sounds like a catch-22. She cannot, on the one hand, tell her husband that you cannot be with me, but yet she cannot be with him.
Can it is it okay if she, for example, identifies the person she was with, that she was Mazana with, and then that person's edus against her would be acceptable, right?
No, because I need two edim.
Ah, you're right.
So I have once had a case like this, Gerab Larry.
It's an interesting thing because I'm thinking about an aguna who could now step forward and say, oh, he doesn't want to give me a divorce, but by the way, I was willingly with another man.
Right.
So now, halachically, he's forced.
But he's not going to be forced. That's the thing. He's not going to be forced to divorce her because she's got no nemanos. So there's nothing forcing him to divorce her because her testimony does not stand up in Beis Din in any which way whatsoever.
If you were involved in a case like this, what was the maskana?
So in my particular case, obviously, I was a very junior rov at the time. I still am. And I would never take achrayus in a case like this. This has to be dealt with a senior rov, and I passed it on to higher authorities. But the rov that I met on Thursday that I had a kesher with, he told me he's a senior rov. He lives in Yerushalayim, a very famous dayan and a bezin, etc., etc., etc. And even he said this case was just too complicated. And unfortunately, he wanted to ask Rabbi Yashiv, and Rabbi Yashiv is no longer with us. He wanted to ask Rav Ozner, and Rav Ozner is no longer with us. And he tried, and he could not find anybody who was willing to take absolute achrayus. And he said he literally could not sleep in days, debating what the correct thing to do. And he said he only really finally calmed himself down when sometime afterwards he heard that the couple got divorced anyway. So it was taken care of. But whether you halachically can or must enforce anything, it's a very, 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 very difficult question. I discussed this at the time with my uncle, Rabbi Yomtov Zanger, who does have experience, unfortunately, in these types of cases. He used to have a Beis Din that dealt specifically with these types of cases. And he said the commonly accepted psak is that she has no nemona, so we leave it at that. But it's very, very difficult. It's very, very, very difficult. So let's hope these cases don't come up again. Okay, we have to press pause over here. As mentioned, Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach, the rest of the week, I'd like to make, shall we go to the two dots later on in the Omid? Maybe we'll reach there tomorrow. And then we're going to go back a little bit and do Chazor on the last couple of dafim. Okay, be well, everybody. Have a good day. Feel well.
Thanks, Rebbe.
Sure.